I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone that does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
He's got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Jeremy and Joe. I was asleep when the Godwin thing happened, and I've already seen a lot of the fallout from, hey, a reporter went after Todd Bowles, like, why were you playing Chris Godwin in these moments? And he's like, we're playing football players, you know, it happens. Sorry, we're trying to win the game. He wanted to play, player wanted to play. The Ravens were up 34-10, and then later 41-18. Blowout.
With, like, minutes left.
Yeah, 6:32 to go is when the Ravens go up 41-18.
Okay. I'm still watching at this point because there are guillotine fantasy stakes on the
sure.
line.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
But the Bucs are like the game, they're not winning the football game.
Right, there's 6:32 left in the game. You know what the Ravens' win probability was?
Is it over? It's over 99, right?
It is 99.9.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
like the site doesn't give you enough decimal points to show what it actually is.
Probably. And this is one of those spots where analytics, blah, blah, blah. It's not always just, what do you do on a 4th-and-2? It really might be, in this spot, what should we do with our super important players? Not play them in a game when we have a 0.01% chance to win.
Yeah.
An AFC game. I mean, you'd already lost Mike Evans to a hamstring injury. You're already depleted. And, man, what a costly game for the Bucs to lose Evans to a hamstring. That won't be season. But then to lose Godwin for the year in garbage time.
He's been like the most, for fantasy, I know it's true, so I'm sure he's up there in receiving yards and touchdowns. He's been the number one fantasy receiver on the season. So he's been amazing this year. They moved him back to the slot. He's been terrific.
He's second in yards to Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay, there you go.
He leads the league in catches.
Yep. All right. He's been awesome.
Yep. He might also lead the league in touchdowns. No, he's one under. He's got five.
Okay. I mean, they were, I guess, when do you pull them? Because you pull them with 6 minutes to go? Maybe you do. Maybe that's the answer. You pull them with 6 minutes to go. The Ravens pulled Lamar Jackson, and they pulled Derrick Henry. Like, they went out for their final series. The Bucs had scored a touchdown. So Mayfield scores a touchdown, and then they recover the onside kick. So it's like, all right, we're still doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going.
Very costly onside kick.
Yeah, because then they score another touchdown. So they scored two touchdowns in less than 4 minutes, or
to
right
close
around 4 minutes. To 24,
so now it's 23.
Now it's a 10-point game. So it's a 10-point game with like 2.5 minutes to go, roughly.
41-31?
Yeah, 41-31. How much time is left?
1:58.
Okay, so it's less than 2 minutes. And they have all three of their timeouts. Mm-hmm. They go stop, stop, stop. So they use their timeouts. Is that when you call off the dogs? Do you not call your timeouts then? In a 10-point game? Because then you get the ball back, and like, this is where I think it's bad. I guess I'm trying to figure out when was the right time to do it. Is that final drive when you don't do it? You've scored two touchdowns, it's a 10-point game with 2 minutes to go.
Well, the Ravens are making a choice to trade you points for time, and they don't care.
Right.
Because, if you want to go by the win probability, ESPN's win probability based on score and
time. The game's
time,
over. The game's over.
Not only that, Joe, but with in the third quarter, it's 99.7 Ravens.
Yeah.
So all that fighting you did, you were in a worse spot a quarter later. It felt closer because it's now 10 points, but your chances of winning are actually less.
Right.
So,
but they're thinking, it's 2 minutes, we score a touchdown, now we're an onside kick away from tying the football game.
Right, but if you're going to live in that land of, maybe this miracle could happen, you have to also be ready on the other side of what could go wrong. Mm-hmm. Mayfield could get hurt. Would you have risked that? I mean, they did risk that.
They did risk it. They risked it after Godwin left the game. And Mayfield, by the way, he kind of showed up his coach last night. Like, they are in field goal range. And there's, what, 20 seconds left? Like, the game is... But what's the... I'm watching the Manning cast. And, like, the Manning cast is still invested. Like, Peyton's like...
Kick it.
What they need to do right now, they need to kick the field goal and then kick an onside kick, because then they could at least do a Hail Mary and they could tie the football game. Like, that's your only play. So they don't do that. They run a play, and what does Mayfield do? Like, Mayfield does not care about the game script. He does not care about what's left on the clock. He doesn't care about the score. Mayfield, the only play there, if you actually think you want to keep the miracle alive, is you got to go out of bounds, right?
Yeah, right.
What does he do? He runs right up the middle and slides. Game over. He ends the game himself. He kind of shows up his coach there. Hmm. Like, my coach is still going for this miracle. I'm saying it's over right now. I'm declaring this game over before anybody else gets hurt. So his own quarterback kind of said to him, like, yeah, man, we shouldn't have been out here.
Well, if you missed it asleep, it was Baltimore's party.
Yeah.
They're partying quite a bit. Lamar had 5 touchdowns.
He was insane.
Derrick Henry had 190 on the ground.
Yeah, he's on pace for 2,000 yards.
Uh-huh. They look pretty good.
They look like a wagon.
So, sorry to come out of the gate and be like, hey, some crazy stuff happened last night. But as you wake up and you catch up on it, you know, I think there'll be a big conversation about what you do. This is not the Super Bowl. It's not a playoff game where it's everything or nothing right now. I mean, the Dodgers. So here's a tangent. The Dodgers had been getting some criticism a little bit because in their series against the Mets, when you go back and forth, every game was a blowout, right?
Yeah.
When the Dodgers got down big in one of those games to the Mets, you know what they did? They just let it go. They didn't fight for every play. And I mean, like, pitching changes and lineup changes. They didn't decide, we got to do absolutely everything we can to try to get this game back. They conceded that game, basically, in the interest of, well, we're going to have our pitchers healthy tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you're the Bucks. You don't need this game. It's October. And if I'm a Bucks fan, I'd be furious about it, losing Godwin like that. And I know that injury could happen in the first quarter. That injury could happen in the second quarter. It's not the first quarter. It's... The game is 99.9% over. This is about a coach not putting his players in a tough spot. I think it's an extension of, like, McDermott Hail Mary stuff. Sure, the players have a role in this, but you want the coach to do something that makes you feel like they can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
And for Godwin here, having him on the field is a mistake. And I think it's a terrible mistake. I think it's a mistake to have Baker Mayfield out there. You lost at home. Sorry you got smoked at home. And gave up at one point 34 unanswered points. That's what the Bills did, too. Or maybe 31 unanswered points. Went from 10-0 Bucks to 34-10 Ravens by the end of the third quarter. Sorry, they were too much for you. Mistake. And I've seen people defending Bulls today as like, guys, that's football. That's football. That's right. Sometimes you got to be smarter than football.
Yeah.
You've got to be smarter than football and say, we cannot put the NFL's leading receiver in catches on the field in a game we have 0.01% chance to lose in, as we're trying desperately to get a miracle, to get a tie.
Mm-hmm. So you would have pulled him like 41-18.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yep.
That's when you pull him.
41-18 probably. Even, again, 41-18 versus 41-24. You can do your own research on win probability. 41-18, it's 99.9% Ravens. 41-24, it's 99.9% Ravens. Yeah. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Looked better. Congratulations. Coaches are obsessed with the score looking better. It's one of the reasons they kick field goals when they shouldn't, because the game looks closer.
That's another reason I was actually surprised they didn't kick the field goal, because I was wondering if they just wanted to make it a one-score game.
It would look better.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost by 7.
The dirtiest one-score game of all time.
Yeah.
If they had kicked that field goal there.
Yeah.
Mayfield said no.
Anyway, there you go.
I do wonder, like, I don't think this probably happened last night. Did you see the clip of Sirianni and Barkley from yesterday?
I did, where Barkley, Sirianni asks Barkley if he wants to go for the record against the Giants.
His career high.
Yep, and he said, no thanks, let's give it to some of the young guys, get him in there.
Yeah, I don't think that happened last night, but that could have happened too, but like where a player gets asked, like, hey, do you want to go back in? Godwin, hey, like you want to be the leading receiver of the year? Like, I'll put you back out here I don't know. He didn't pull any other starter, though, which is why I would think he probably did not do that. because that's the difference. Sirianni, even in the clip, he's like, he's putting all the backups in. I'll put you out there with them if you want to go for your career high. This was not that, I don't think. This was all the starters were still out there, including Kate Otten, who I needed one more point from. Didn't get it.
That game was 28-3. I'm inclined to immediately look for, like, what was the win probability when Sirianni made that call?
Probably 99.9. Yeah. Should that be a rule for any team? If you're 99.9, starters are coming out.
Yeah. Man, tough one for the Bucks.
Yeah. Dislocated ankle is definitely still the season, probably, right?
Yeah, that's what they think.
Okay. I didn't see that. Because they thought broken leg.
At the start of the fourth quarter, the Eagles were 99.3.
Okay.
So did he come out in the fourth, or was it a little bit into the fourth?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when the clip came from.
Well, anyway, good morning. Happy Tuesday. The Sabres play tonight. We'll have Lindy Ruff at 8. We'll have Howard Picks the Bills at 8:30. Sal is off today, so he gets a little bit of a break here from us. We gear up for Sabres and Stars tonight. And then, off to another week. Bills and Seahawks. The Thursday night game is an interesting one this week. We got another week of NFL football on the way. And
what's the Thursday night game this week?
I mean, it's escaping me, but it's good.
Okay. Week 8? Is this week 8?
Vikings-Rams. Not bad.
All right.
It's not bad.
I'm into that. We don't have a London game this week.
That's right.
That's all right.
We did have another game flexed, for better or for worse. It's the second time. So, this coming week that the Bears and Commanders are playing at 4:25.
Yeah.
That got flexed into the national spot, and Eagles-Bengals came out.
Okay.
Next week, the week after, Eagles-Jaguars came out of a 4:00 spot.
Okay.
And going in is
Colts Vikings.
Okay, there you go, which I don't think is very... I mean, that's when America can see that Anthony Richardson doesn't have it.
I guess it's a little better because both of those teams are interesting. The Jags are just kind of dead in the water, even though they beat the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles are not the best watch ever. Also, how about the Eagles just getting thrown out here?
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top windows.
I had a thought that's probably not realistic, but is it because their coach is unlikable and they don't want to put him on television? I mean, people get mad at that guy. I'm sure that's not it. But I do enjoy the Eagles getting pulled out of those big windows.
Yeah, for Colts-Vikings. Richardson, I mean, he does do some crazy stuff, too. Like, we'll see. Maybe this will be the game. Even in the game where he does this, he'll still go 9 of 25. But he might throw a 70-yard pass on a rope that very few others in the league can actually make.
Well, Baltimore is the other big part of the story. And relative to Bills fans, Baltimore's the story here. Another dominant win over a good Bucs team. The Bucs are good.
Yeah.
And the Bucs go in 4-2, and Baltimore dominates them on the road. And they run for 191. The Bucs had an average run defense going into this game, not a terrible one. Mm. It's kind of like the Bills. Should you be convinced the Bills have a terrible run defense because of how the Ravens ran over them? Maybe not. That really hasn't happened since then. The Jets had some success. The Titans definitely did not. So here are the Bucs getting run over by Derrick Henry. And the Ravens' passing game, 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bucs pass defense, that's pretty rough. It has been for a while. But the Ravens, they look like the best version of the Ravens we've maybe seen. Can I say the best one we've ever seen?
Maybe.
Their defense is not exactly incredible. It looked good against the Bills. Lamar is looking the best he's ever looked. And Derrick Henry is someone they've never had before.
They, to me, even though... Can I say this? That even though they have 2 losses and have lost to the team that's undefeated, I feel like they looked like the scariest team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs
in week 1 by a toe.
Opening night by a toe.
Yeah.
And that's a different Chiefs team than it was on opening night. Opening night they had Rashee Rice available, and now they don't. And I guess they were still missing Hollywood Brown, but
Also, the Ravens early in the year were having a ton of offensive line problems, and I guess that's really turned around for them.
Yeah.
especially, I mean, run game wise, especially, but like they were putrid in the first couple of games. The first game they couldn't even get a play in because they were taking so many false starts and they were lined up improperly. But I guess their line, which was their thing that was kind of dragging them down a little bit, is kind of corrected itself.
They have 150 rushing yards in each game this year.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And Lamar, I mean, what the Ravens have right now is an offense completely built out of explosive plays. He finished with 281 on 17 completions.
Yeah.
That's like all explosive plays.
Right. What was his shortest pass? Did he have a pass under like 5 yards in this game? I don't know. The play to Bateman late, he does the Allen plays too, where there are a lot of their big plays are like their offense just functioning, but he also has the thing that Allen does, which is there he is in the fourth quarter. He's scrambling away from everybody, and let me just heave this ball while I'm scrambling to the right down there, and there's Rashad Bateman open for like a 60-yard gain.
They averaged 9.4 yards per play. The Ravens,
per play,
the Ravens did 500 yards of offense. Now, the Bucs, that happens.
Yeah,
I mean, if Lamar had gone for 500 passing, it would have been the second time it happened to the Bucs this year. So, You know, you've got your. I mean, they look good. They look good. The question, I guess, we'll have is, do you trust Lamar in the playoffs? The Bills and the Ravens are not that different in the life that they live, which is, can you do it in the playoffs? The difference is what the conversation around the playoffs is. For the Ravens, it's can Lamar not fold in the playoffs?
Right.
And for the Bills, it's can they beat the Chiefs? I don't really think Josh Allen gets he's no good in the playoffs conversation.
No, the coach gets it.
That's right. The coach does. And you could, you know, show me a million retweets about people saying Josh throws picks in the playoffs. It's usually from just users on Twitter like DolphinsFan341.
I'll take this opportunity to read the stat again that is incredible to me, that Josh Allen has the lowest interception percentage in NFL history in the playoffs.
I think it's second now.
Is it second
I
now?
I think I saw second.
Okay.
Nate tweeted out some stats on it yesterday. But the life is not that different. The difference is the Bills are let down by their defense more often in the playoffs, and the Ravens are let down by their offense in the playoffs. Yeah. But they both have a year here where they're 5-2, and we're just going to wait to see what happens when they actually get to the postseason. Can Lamar finally shake free and get to a Super Bowl? And can the Bills stay healthy, be right, and do the same? It's been a while since anybody was upset with Josh Allen in the playoffs. It really has almost never happened.
Houston?
The Houston game is a little bit of that.
5 years ago.
The Cincinnati game, no one really got mad at Allen for that, except for maybe Diggs. So it's been a while. And in Baltimore, I bet they argue about Lamar all the time in the playoffs.
The playoff thing for Allen, by the way, it's where you set the minimum. If it's a minimum 100 attempts in the playoffs, then he's number one all time. If you set it at 50, then he's second. But anyways, he's one of the best ever. Yeah, Lamar, though, it's... And he turns the ball over in the postseason, too. Yep. That's the other thing. I think it's 6 touchdowns, 6 picks for him in the postseason. And for them, it's the Chiefs also being their boogeyman, I think. Like, the Chiefs have not beaten them 3 times in the postseason. But if you're the Ravens right now, isn't that all you really care about? Don't you feel like, you know, Bills are good, but we handled them. Sure, you had Amari Cooper? Great. We handled you. And Houston is all right, but, like, to me, if I'm the Ravens, I only care right now about Pittsburgh, though, is like, I don't know. Isn't Pittsburgh always the team that's just right there in their crawl? Like, they always play them well.
Yeah.
There's always a 15-12 Ravens-Steelers game every single year. But I think over the big picture, if you're the Ravens, you're only focused on the Chiefs right now. And I think you're probably thinking you beat the Chiefs if you play a rematch. Or if you play them in your own building.
Yep.
Like, how much would they care about the one seed for that? Let's get them back here. I guess they lost the playoff game at home last year to them. But get the game back here and let me take another run at them. We were real sloppy in that first game. The way we look right now, the way they look, like let's take another shot at them. If I'm the Ravens, I think I would feel really good about a Chiefs matchup. But that's all I would care about. It's the obsession that I would have. The Bills, like, I don't know. They just smoked them. How real was it that they smoked them? Doesn't it feel like that could go the same way if they were to play again?
It could, but I'd be surprised. Right?
They're doing that to everybody.
They're doing that to everybody. I'd be surprised if it went exactly the same way, but they're doing that to everybody. I mean, here is Tampa. Like you said, like they did get their yards late and their points, but it was a blowout.
It was a blowout.
803-0550, sure. Our phone number. Godwin for the year. You know, it's been a tough year for injuries. Really has. Like Ayuk and Godwin yesterday going out basically this week. And it kind of, every once in a while, you have it driven home that no other sport really eats its players up like this, like football. No sport. I know hockey has injuries. It just doesn't chew them up this badly in terms of long-term injuries. Multiple stars. Which 15 players you care about are going to be knocked out for the year in the first 6 weeks?
Right.
And that happens in football all the time. And by the time you get to December, you have to be reminded, like, oh, yeah, don't forget the Bucs are without Godwin. Oh, that's right. Don't forget the Bills are without Milano. Oh, yeah, that's right. Just absolutely chews people up. And with Ayuk, like, boy, isn't this ever a good example of Ayuk will be a tale for players going forward. Fight, fight, fight. Make sure you get your deal. Fight until you get it. Because if you give up, you could give up $60 million. Like, you got to fight for every dollar you can get.
If he didn't have his contract right now, he would be getting way less money on his next contract.
It probably costs him $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Coming off an ACL, it would just be, hey, here's 1 year, $17 million.
Yeah.
Like, look what happened to Beckham. Beckham was returning to become one of the premier receivers in the league with the Rams. It looked really good off of an ACL. Mm-hmm. Then he gets injured in that Super Bowl, and since then, it's been what? There have been more headlines about him on visits than there have been in games.
Right.
He's visited the Bills. He's visited the Ravens. He's visiting the Dolphins. Just that happens to you. You're in rough shape.
Is he? I'm not paying attention to this, so I don't actually even know if this is happening. Is he getting blamed, though? Couldn't you see that happening? Or is there anyone out there that's trying to make a point that Ayuk, because he wasn't at camp and because he missed the entire offseason, he wasn't ready for the season, and that's part of the reason why he's injured? I think that would be a dumb point. But I wonder how much of that he's getting right now. Because his whole season before this, at this point, like, he had not really... Had he been turning it on a little bit as of late? Because early in the year it was, man, this looks like a player that didn't do anything during the offseason. At least with the team, right? Like, he was dropping passes. He wasn't getting open early on. I guess that really wasn't turning around either. I'm looking... No, a little bit. He had a huge game against Arizona a couple weeks ago. But otherwise, like, that was his season. He only had one game this year where he went over 50 yards, Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, it had not been going well.
And now the Niners are just... What's happening with Deebo Samuel?
Deebo has pneumonia.
He has pneumonia?
Their horrible season of injuries got worse as Kittle has a foot sprain and Deebo has pneumonia and is hospitalized.
Yeah.
Like,
Does it happen more to them than any other team?
I don't know.
How many seasons does Shanahan on have his resume where it just gets blown up due to injuries?
Good question.
This will be like the third one, I think. Like, his record is not actually as good as you think it is, but it's kind of simply just because of injuries. He's had a couple of seasons where everybody got hurt.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk with Lindy Ruff today as the Sabres are back home for a homestand, four-game homestand. The Stars are in town tonight. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call on, you know, a day later, how you're feeling about the Bills, how they look in the conference. Let's talk about the AFC. Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati is not dead, clearly. Pittsburgh is there, and nobody thinks they're legit. But maybe Russell Wilson with a couple of weeks like that can change that. 803-0550, our number on WGR.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.